When the American Library Association convenes its annual conference later this month in San Francisco, book authors are the honored guests. And not only famous names like Ms. Magazine founder Gloria Steinem and Rock and Roll Hall of Famer Robbie Robertson of the band. Welcome to Copyright Clearance Center's podcast series. I'm Christopher Keneally for Beyond the Book. One particularly appropriate ALA speaker will be Scott Sherman, author of Patience and Fortitude, Power, Real Estate, and the Fight to Save a Public Library. For The Nation magazine, Sherman documented how the mindset of real estate development nearly dismantled the New York Public Library with plans to sell off multiple branch libraries, recast an historic building, and send millions of books to storage. With more on ALA and this week's book publishing news, Publishers Weekly senior writer Andrew Albanese joins me now from his office only blocks away from the NYPL main branch. Welcome back to Beyond the Book, Andrew.
Hey there, Chris.
Well, welcome, as we say, and looking forward to your preview of the upcoming American Library Association gathering. PW has a great deal about that in this coming issue. Tell us more.
Yeah, that's right. I am really getting excited for the 2015 annual ALA conference, which runs from June 25th to 30th in San Francisco, California. And to quote PW columnist Brian Kenny, who has a piece in Monday's issue running down his program picks, that even if the program doesn't grab you for the ALA meeting this year, so what? You'll be in San Francisco in June. Average temperature, 69 degrees. But I have to say, I actually am looking quite forward to the program this year, which includes a number of great sessions on ebooks, on copyright and the legislative and policy changes that are coming up, best practices and trends in the library and publishing worlds, of course, tracks on scholarly publishing, and of course, plenty of authors. You know, we say it every year, but it bears repeating. Authors are the lifeblood of the ALA annual conference. And this year's keynoters, I think, are going to be particularly fascinating. Kicking off the show is attorney and author Roberta Kaplan, whose new book recounts the story of successfully overturning the Defense of Marriage Act before the Supreme Court. And I can't think of a more timely speaker than Kaplan, who's going to address the ALA convention just days before the annual Gay Pride Parade in San Francisco, and with the Supreme Court expected to either have issued or about to issue another key ruling on the same-sex marriage issue. And the following morning, Gloria Steinem is going to address the ALA, and she has a new memoir coming out soon, too. I'm really looking forward to that as well. You can read all about what's on tap for ALA in Monday's issue. We have a strong slate of features in that issue, including coverage by columnist Brian Kenny and Peter Brantley. There's also a Q&A with former Elsevier CEO John Ragazzi, who talks about his new book, which is a history of scholarly communication. There's an essay on building adult comic and graphic novel collections in libraries, which is a hot topic as comics soar in popularity among adult readers and critics. You may recall that New Yorker editor Roz Chess graphic novel memoir was a finalist for the 2014 National Book Award. There's an essay as well on the rise of family place libraries, and these are new libraries for children, basically. And there's a fascinating Q&A with, as you mentioned, author Scott Sherman, whose new book, Patience and Fortitude, runs down the NYPL's history, and he really takes down the NYPL trustees for their failed bid to sell off a couple of libraries and to pull the stacks out of the iconic 42nd Street Library here in New York.
Right. Well, you know, our regular listeners will certainly recall your discussions about that controversy at NYPL last year. And what new does Scott Sherman have to say about it?
Yeah, you know, it was the end of last year that the NYPL's renovation plans finally went up in flames amid public protest, and especially among a vocal protest by scholars and authors. And to me, Sherman's observations in our Q&A are pretty strong. Essentially, he, you know, presents them in the context, he takes the NYPL's history and sort of puts this latest episode, this latest controversy in context with it all. And the main takeaways, I think the ones that resonate with me the most, are the secrecy with which the plan was approached. I mean, there was really no public consultation here. And utilizing the open meetings laws in New York, Sherman was able to get the trustee minutes dating back about 10 years, which he says reveals this castle-in-the-sky plan by NYPL trustees that not only could have ended up with the loss of some library assets, but it could have bankrupted the whole system. But I think his strongest point is that, you know, the way we run our elite cultural institutions is in jeopardy as the digital age approaches. You know, no one should be surprised that the NYPL planned to sell off some prized real estate, he says, because look at who's on the NYPL board. It's all real estate developers and Wall Street titans. So, you know, his main thing is to look at the NYPL events as extending beyond a story about a library and think about how we are managing our cultural institutions. And I think that is a really great point.
Well, indeed, it does sound like that. And, you know, there's another library in the news this week, the Library of Commerce. We've got some breaking news that the Librarian of Congress, Mr. Billington, will be resigning after many, many years in the job. And you've also got some coverage on some of the first shots regarding broader copyright reform. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so that's right. Last week, a draft circulated of what's known as the CODE Act, the C-O-D-E CODE Act. And this would essentially remove the Copyright Office from the Library of Congress in an effort to transform it for the digital age. Under this proposal, the U.S. Copyright Office would become its own agency with its own funding. Publishers in an AAP statement said they supported the bill. But I have to tell you, Chris, I'm not counting on this moving too quickly. This week, the Internet Association, which is a trade group that includes major powers like Google and Amazon, Netflix, and Facebook, pumped the brakes on this move, noting that wholesale changes to the Copyright Office must first be made before determining whether it should be spun off as an independent agency. And they added that the Copyright Office has to be reformed to better represent all stakeholders through the incorporation of policies that facilitate consumers' interests as well. And I also would add to that, you know, good luck getting any kind of, you know, project like this through while the campaigns, presidential campaigns are getting underfoot. But also, I think my broader observation is to say, you know, sort of welcome to the new world order when it comes to copyright. You know, we once lived in a world where it was publishers and Hollywood studios and lawyers that basically hashed out the copyright laws very quietly without the public's interest. But, you know, that's really changed in the last few years with a lot of lawsuits against Google, for example. You have efforts like SOPA. And now the tech industry lobby is really in the game. And now the public is much more engaged with copyright than they ever have been before. And, you know, I think it's too early to say what's good or bad about all of this, but I'm just really saying that I think that the political reality now is much different. And of course, I have my own views as well on the idea of moving the Copyright Office outside of the Library of Congress. And I think chief among them are concerns about what exactly an independent Copyright Office would be tasked to do. Now, from where I sit, I am guessing that it's essentially going to be a law enforcement agency. And that kind of scares the hell out of me, if I can be honest. You know, I'm picturing the war on drugs for intellectual property. And we've all seen how well that's worked out for drugs. You know, jail populations have swelled. SWAT teams are in every community now. And still, there's really been not much progress in combating drug abuse. So, you know, I am a little wary about what exactly the plan is here once we move the Copyright Office out from the Library of Congress. So I, too, might urge pumping the brakes here and maybe going back and thinking a little more broadly about what copyright reform should entail before we go ahead and do that.
Oh, well, I have to say, Andrew, that's pretty strong stuff from you. I mean, the war on drugs transferred to IP. I guess I'm thinking the PSAs would need some work. You know, this is your brain. This is your brain on books.
It's this is your brain on piracy.
It's not quite the same thing as for the war on drugs. Well, listen, Andrew, we appreciate your insights and your reporting as ever on Beyond the Book. Thanks so much for joining us.
My pleasure, as always.
Beyond the Book is produced by Copyright Clearance Center, a global rights broker for the world's most sought-after materials, including millions of books and ebooks, journals, newspapers, magazines, and blogs, as well as images, movies, and television shows. You can follow Beyond the Book on Twitter, find us on Facebook, and subscribe to the free podcast series on iTunes or at our website, beyondthebook.com. Our engineer and co-producer is Jeremy Brisky of Burst Marketing. My name is Chris Keneally. For all of us at Copyright Clearance Center, thanks for listening to Beyond the Book.